Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 22nd. In the year of our Lord, 2019, this is our one of two, and our goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide, and absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we clearly reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We had our buddy on Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, with us. We talked about the truth about Martin Luther King Jr. You know what's fascinating? Google seems to be hiding more and more and more and more and more of the real story on Martin Luther King. I find it fascinating. Every year I look this up, it gets harder to find the other side of the Martin Luther King story. The fact is, hey, this guy was not a good guy. And what's sad about it is we just fawn over this guy like he is almost more important than God. I mean, I went to a basketball game last night, and I'm telling you right now, they were fawning all over Martin Luther King like you could not believe him. He was the cat's meow, baby. And I had some people kind of brief me on this. They're like, you know what? How do I even know the truth? I mean, Sam, you say that Martin Luther King was a thug, was a bad guy. How do I know that that's really the real story? How do I know that he wasn't a good guy? And, man, it sure kind of destroys my faith in humanity and society a little bit when I hear that this guy's really a bad guy, when society just treats him as honorable as could be. And I responded and said, I get that the real story on people and things in our modern society is very hard to obtain. Google makes sure that you can't get the other side of the story. With their search manipulations, our society just fawning over people and things to the point of, you know, they put people above God oftentimes. I mean, it's just, wow. The worship of this man is beyond imagination. Now, did Martin Luther King say some good things? Oh, yes, he did. You know what? His I Have a Dream speech is incredible. He was a great speaker. The things that he said, I agree with a lot of. I really do. You know, this idea that we're going to promote peace and nonviolence, but we want to have equality in the world. I mean, it's a wonderful idea. It reminds me of communism, folks. Oh, by the way, did you know Martin Luther King got communist funding? Yeah, that's the problem and the point that I'm getting at. You know, communism sounds great, too. Everybody's going to have, you know, equality. Everybody's going to be treated the same. The state's going to be the warden of everybody, and everybody's going to have, you know, fair handouts. And, you know, communism, if you just look at the surface, don't understand the government Gestapo kind of tactics behind their agenda, communism sounds wonderful if you're only willing to look at the surface and the promises made. When you really dig into the lies, though, you kind of go, whoa, why look at Martin Luther King a lot like that? All right, we also talked about Governor Herbert had an op-ed piece that he wrote, the solution for the shutdown, give more power to the states. He's right. But he doesn't go far enough to understand that the states need to take the power, not just depend on the, what's the right word for this, ambivalent government to hand them out? Is that the right word, Kurt? Ambivalent? Anyway.
Not sure, but that's a good word. It's a nice word.
All right, you can look that word up.
Useful.
There you go. Anyway, keep my voice, KMV. Had a first annual awards gala, and it was great. Lowell was there just celebrating the volunteers and appreciation for the work done for the Count My Vote agenda. We also talked about Graham blames Trump for troops killed in Syria last Wednesday. But I hold Congress just as responsible as the president. All of us need to double down and insist on the checks and balances being used. Congress can end U.S. involvement in the war on Yemen. I agree with that. Senate did a good job. I wish the House would go along, too. I wish we could really back away from these wars, folks. Utah March for Life coming up this Saturday, January 26th, 1 p.m. at the Utah Capitol. You want to learn more about it? March for Life, Utah.org, and ProLifeUtah.org. You can check that out and learn about it. We talked about at March for Life, Senator Daines of Montana announced first pro-life caucus in the Senate. That's great news. Alveda King, and I agree with her on this. This is Martin Luther King's niece, by the way. Again, these words are very good. It just depends on behind the scenes what tactics they're willing to go to obtain their agenda, right? But Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King, says, pray for an end to all crimes against humanity, born and unborn. I agree with her. She's right as rain on that, isn't she? And again, Martin Luther King, a lot of his statements I agree with. Good stuff. I just wish behind the scenes the man was as even half of the legend. And I get that we all fall short. I get it. But I also get when we're literally not telling the truth about someone's character, it's a credibility crisis, to say the least. Hour two yesterday, Liberty Roundtable Live, we had our guest on, Mr. Scott Bradley, to preserve the nation. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. Check it out. He's got incredible webinars on his site. And he's also working on putting up the Liberty Roundtable episodes in which he appears on his radio or on his website as well. Senator Rand Paul does a great job, reintroduces Life at Conception Act and bill to end Planned Parenthood funding. I sure pray we get that done. Good for Rand. Retired OBGYN. Her name is Kathy Aldman. And she says, you know what? When I was working, when it was wanted, it was called a baby. If it wasn't called, or if it wasn't wanted, it was called a fetus. See how that language lie goes on? Black Democratic lawmaker. She's a Louisiana state representative. Her name is Katrina Jackson. She's a black Democrat, pro-life Louisiana legislator. And she says she fights for life. Why? Because she's a Christian first. And amen to that. Good for her. The Supremes have been handed an opportunity to fix abortion law, writes Bob Unruh. And I hope they don't squander it. Terrific news about America's abortion clinics. Chuck Norris writes the piece talking about how we used to have a couple of thousand of them, but now it's down to like 400. So we've reduced, what, by 80%? Anyway, good for Chuck for bringing that piece out. Women viciously attacked a black Donald Trump supporter at the Women's March in Los Angeles. Guess who it was? Yes, indeed, fellow co-host, syndicated by Liberty News Radio, Jesse Lee Peterson. Good job, Jesse. I'm sorry you got attacked by these out-of-control women. But again, it just shows what their agenda really is. It's radicalism, extremism. It's not coming together. Anyway, what a sad tale to tell. We had a poll. It talks about amid the wall fight, if you will. It turns out the poll shows Latinos love Trump. So that's good news. Sam Bushman tweets, and I sent it to @RealDonaldTrump, deliver the State of the Union live from the border. Invite the new media taking center stage to go with you, sir. That's what I hope we get done. Trump offers 3 years of legal status for dreamers for 230 miles of see-through steel barrier. And again, it's not really the offer that I would make, but I get why President Trump is doing it. He's showing the Democrats to be complete extremists. They're not interested in opening the government. They're not interested in telling the truth or being honest about this. They are literally trying to just divide. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, even Mitt Romney is backing the president's push for a border wall. He doesn't understand why the Democrats won't agree. Well, the reason why, Mitt, let me help you out, is because they don't want to agree. They don't want solutions. They don't want to come to the table. They don't want to restore government. What they want to do is shut down Trump and beat Trump at every turn. Don't you get it? That's why it's important to defend Donald Trump. Not even that you agree with Donald on everything, Mitt. But, you know, you're going to allow Ocasio-Cortez, Barney Frank, I know he's not there now, but, I mean, this ilk, Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders, Beto O'Rourke to run around and down the Constitution and promote socialism blatantly, and you're not even going to talk about these guys, but you're going to attack the president of the United States of America? I mean, come on, Mitt. Just shows how out of touch you are, my friend. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's award-winning broadcast, available at libertyroundtable.com. News the networks refuse to use starts today. Kirk Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, Kurt, I sent you an email from Liberty Counsel that I wanted to cover first and foremost. And it's very interesting. It's the pro-life message continued, if you will. And 3,000 lives per day have been murdered since Roe versus Wade, folks. Today is National Sanctity of Life Day. Or it's National Sanctity of Human Life Day is what they call it. And it marks the 46th year since the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Roe versus Wade, along with its companion case, Doe v. Bolton. Is that what it is? D-O-E versus Bolton. And I don't know much about that case. Do you, Kurt?
No.
Anyway, we don't hear much about that one. But the two cases open the door to killing preborn babies literally for any reason at any time in any stage of development. I mean, it is just beyond the imagination. Since that tragic day in 1973, approximately 60 million innocent children in America have been murdered, or in my opinion, brutally killed by abortion. When we come back, Kurt will break this down because Matt Staver and Liberty Counsel does a phenomenal job in breaking down what's going on and keeping this pro-life view in focus. This is one of the most critical issues of all when we talk about the proper role of limited constitutional government, ladies and gentlemen. Sam and Kurt in seconds, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosherified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, is National Sanctity of Human Life Day. We got to keep this issue alive, Kurt.
It's a great point, Sam. And, you know, when you look at good folks there at Liberty Counsel, they've been on the front lines, and I think they continue to be a great example. They're partnering with the National Pro-Life Center, trying to hold what's called a Remembering the Unborn Memorial, and it's in the front of the U.S. Supreme Court. They've got 3,000 flowers that are going to be placed on the sidewalk in front of the court, to represent the 3,000 babies that are killed every day by abortion. I don't think a lot of people are aware of that. Liberty Counsel actively defends pro-life advocates like, they say, Sandra Merritt, pro-life sidewalk counselors, and crisis pregnancy centers against intrusive government regulations, and the malicious efforts of pro-abortion organizations to silence their voices. They call them, in this article or this piece sent to us, they call them staunch defenders of life. And
I hope to be one of those, Kurt.
Yeah, there you go. They say they're frequently the last line of defense in saving an unborn child's life. And this is Matt's message. He starts off, he says, January 22nd, that's today, is designated as the National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Marks the 46th year since, it's almost your lifetime, Sam. I mean, it's a little less.
Yeah, but dang close. Your point's well taken.
Since the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Roe v. Wade, along with its companion case, Doe v. Bolton, the infamous abortion rulings that opened the doors to killing preborn babies for any reason and at any stage of development. Since that tragic day in 1973, approximately 60 million innocent children have been brutally killed by abortion. At this memorial, they want to honor those precious babies that are brutally killed by abortion every day. We cannot escape the consequences of this human genocide unless we stop the slaughter and repent of this terrible sin. Abortion is outright rebellion against God, the author of human life. Abortion kills innocent children and leaves emotional scars on mothers, fathers, and families. Matt Staver says, we will continue fighting the battle to make the womb a safe place again. It says, three generations of Americans have now been adversely impacted by rulings at the United States Supreme Court, which explicitly degrade fellow human beings to something less than persons in the whole sense. But abortion is not only an act of murder against the preborn child, it also devastates the lives of the very women pro-abortion advocates claim to be protecting. In court briefs, the piece continues, Liberty Counsel has repeatedly presented compelling testimonies of women who were deceived about abortion and decided to abort their unborn child. These women suffered tremendous emotional strain, anxiety, depression, and even suicidal ideation, they call it. I'm not exactly sure what ideation means. I'll have to look that up. The narratives
of these
circle,
women. It's like a circle. Ideations is the steps you go through to get closer and closer to suicide and then back away from it, or somebody stops it, and then you go through the round again and again and again. Because of the suffering and the stress and the turmoil and the anger and the disappointment and the fear and the discouragement and things like that, that this kind of murder brings on, Kurt.
Kind of the whole thing about wickedness never was happiness, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The narratives of these women and similar stories, Matt Staver continues, across the country make it clear there are two victims of every abortion. A child dies and a woman is severely wounded. Abortion irreparably harms untold numbers of human beings. We believe that women are incompletely counseled when they walk into an abortion clinic. They are deceived about the procedure and are only rarely informed of the potential for ongoing emotional trauma. He says, we pray for the victims of abortion. On Friday, prior to the March for Life, Liberty Counsel and Faith and Liberty sponsored the 25th Annual National Memorial for the Preborn and their mothers and fathers, the service included clergy and laity who prayed on behalf of all people who have been devastated by abortion in America. One of the speakers was Liberty Counsel's client, Sandra Merritt, one of the journalists whose undercover videos exposed the heinous practice of trafficking baby body parts by Planned Parenthood. Contrary to the pro-abortion industry's position, life is not expendable. It is an unalienable, God-given right. Please consider, and you know, he talks about contributing to Liberty Counsel, etc., to help defend the people and facilities that help protect the lives of mothers and the preborn. And he says, God bless you for your support of Liberty Counsel. Then he says, P.S., the National Pro-Life Center is a pro-life ministry to members and staff of all three branches of government in the nation's capital, located across the street from the Supreme Court in walking distance of Congress and within minutes of the White House. Sometime I'll have to go there, I guess, huh, Sam?
Yeah, you're right about that. Now, what I find sad is I'm seeing articles, Kurt, where we've actually increased funding in 2018 for Planned Parenthood. You know that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me, Sam. I mean,
yeah, there's a story from Town Hall and many other places to kind of make the point. Planned Parenthood's new annual report shows increase in funding and abortions, Kurt. So, and they're actually calling for increased funding even beyond what they've already got. So, you know, while we talk about decreasing funding, it's a good goal. I sure pray we get it done, but right now they're winning. They're increasing funding, and Donald and everybody else who's trying to stop it seems to be just shut down at every turn by the courts and by the Congress, Kurt. Anyway, good for Matt
Evil's
Staver.
Evil's on the march.
Good for Matt Staver. 3,000 lives per day murdered, over 60 million babies. Today is National Sanctity of Human Life Day, and I think we should be grateful and humble and take this as our cue to make this really, really important. All right, I wanted to put these stories back to back because I think they're 100% related. Headline says, 10 proven ways to fix the whole world, writes Bill Federer. Great article, Kurt. And this is Solutions Radio at your fingertips, by the way.
And you know, in an effort, we hear about the whole Make America Great Again, and you know, kind of relation to Make the World Great Again. And then you think, you hear this, 10 proven ways. What are they? And then he says, the 10 commandments are not the laws. They are the law, stated Cecil B. DeMille at the New York opening of his epic film, The Ten Commandments. This was starring Charlton Heston as Moses and Yul Brynner as Pharaoh Ramses II. The film was released by Paramount Pictures back in 1956. While they were filming on location in Egypt, Cecil B. DeMille, then 75 years old, climbed a 107-foot ladder to shoot the famous Exodus scene from atop of the massive Per Ramses set. In the intense heat, DeMille suffered a near-fatal heart attack. Though doctors ordered him to rest, DeMille finished directing the movie. He never fully recovered and died of a heart condition on January 21, 1959. Little after,
but he died doing phenomenal work, Kurt.
Yeah, he had anticipated doing a film on the biblical book of Revelation.
Wow, that would have been...
Anyway, the bottom line is there's a lot of good there. And, you know, the Ten Commandments, the, 10 proven ways to fix the whole world.
And I want to talk about that in light of National Sanctity of Human Life Day. I want to kind of mention that in relation to... Hang tight, okay? Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Incredible article by Bill Federer, 10 proven ways to fix the whole world. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. There's an incredible movie by that name as well, Charlton Heston, by the way. Kurt, any other tidbits on this? I only have a couple of comments.
You know, he talks about the Hebrew commandments were not just a list of do's and don'ts, but they had a God above who was watching everyone, wanted everyone to be fair, would hold each person accountable in the future. This motivated everyone to act fairly, even with no police around. He says, referring to the Ten Commandments, President Harry S. Truman addressed the Attorney General's conference back in February of 1950. He said the fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. I don't think we emphasize that enough these days. If we don't have a proper fundamental moral background, we will finally end up with a totalitarian government which does not believe in rights for anybody except for the state. And he gives some stuff from Herbert Hoover, President Reagan, President William McKinley, anyway, a number of different ones, and they're all basically saying that...
A lot of people doubling down on the point, and thank heavens they are, and I will double down, too, and say, think about these 3,000 killed per day, basically 60 million since Roe versus Wade since 1973, and I'm glad they haven't been killing my whole life. I'm 5 years older than that, so at least there's 5 years of less abuse. That's a blessing. But I bring all this up because when you think about the fact that we are giving Planned Parenthood, there's a Daily Caller article, Planned Parenthood reveals how much more taxpayers gave them in 2018. So that's the tragedy there. Even though we're trying to increase funding for Planned or decrease funding for Planned Parenthood, literally, they're getting more money. And so it just shows you that a lot of these people that tell you they're for pro-life, they're not as genuine as we had hoped. But we still got to keep up the fight.
One thing that's interesting to me, I was looking at the Washington Examiner's piece about it, and they're talking about how much more money they got. You know, about $20 million, I think, you know, increase over last year.
Yes, sir.
But they say that the law says they're not supposed to use any of that money for abortion, although a lot of people say that, well, when they have money like that, you know, they can certainly use it for whatever they like. But
yeah, reminds you of a little kid. These... Which hand do I have the quarter in, huh?
I guess so.
See. You know, I mean, it's, hey, the kid has the quarter, right? So, you know, it's sad, and I agree the law's better to say you can't, you know, use this funding for abortion and that you use other money for abortions and stuff. I mean, it's better than nothing. But again, we had control of everything, Kurt, as pro-lifers or Republicans. It's in their platform. I'm just really disappointed we didn't get more done on this. Nevertheless, I am grateful for the efforts of Matt Staver over at Liberty Council. I'm grateful for folks that have put together this defense of the 3,000 lives per day, National Sanctity of Human Life Day. I'm grateful that we have that to talk about this. I'm glad they've been doing it for 46 years. You know, I'm glad that people are highlighting the truth. I'm saddened to know at least people are willing to report that we're giving Planned Parenthood more money. And that's what it's going to take. First, the knowledge that this is continuing to do something about it. So that's good news. 10 proven ways to fix the whole world. And I want to just talk about this. You know, thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not commit adultery. And then we think of the modern view of that, or do anything like unto it kind of a thing. Don't even look up on a woman to lust after her. And, you know, we think about these, honor thy father and thy mother, and these 10 commandments, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or whatever. You know, you put all that together and you kind of go, how many of these abortions would even be necessary if we took those laws of God seriously? And I bring that up just because I agree with Bill Federer that, you know what? I mean, I'm not telling you the world would be perfect if everybody kept the 10 commandments, but just imagine what trouble would we have? Would sure have a lot less, that's for sure. All right, Mark Levine's in the news, Kurt, and he's on a bender. He's on a big old rant. And he rants that the longest government shutdown is actually quite short. He says it's amazing how we count weekends. And I don't know if you guys know this, but the House of Representatives has averaged 138 legislative days per year since 2001, according to records kept by the Library of Congress. So 138 days a year. That's about one day out of every 3 days working. That's less than 3 days a work week, Kurt, they say. And, you know, I don't know what to think about that, except to say that, you know, they say that there's differing reports. Some say Congress doesn't really work because they have very few legislative days, and then others say it's because they're working 70 hours a week behind the scenes and stuff like that, and, you know, they're really hard at work. But I find Congress really, Kurt, to be very disappointing. I mean, they're only in session 138 days out of 365. They spend money going back and forth to their home states at big, massive expense. They can't work on Mondays and Wednesdays because they have to, or Mondays and Fridays because they have to have travel days. And you know what? With modern video technology and everything else, you would think that there would be, but they love it back in Washington. They don't like it in their districts. You know, I can't get a hold of my congressman or my senator, really, with rare exception to that. And I wonder, and they say, well, the reason why, Sam, is there's just too many constituents per legislator. And I say, well, fine, the Constitution's supposed to prevent that. Why don't you follow the Constitution? Well, Sam, because there'd be too many, there wouldn't be room for them all to meet. And, well, fine, you got video conferencing for that purpose. I mean, I got video conferencing services that can have thousands of people on it all at once. Anyway, all I'm telling you is you look at this thing and you go, it's just a sham, Kurt. And, I don't know what to do about it, but it's very hard to advocate for pro-life or any of these things when I just can't get a hold of my congressmen and senators. But anyway, Mark Levine pointing out this truth, Kurt, that they act like the government shutdown's so big But when you really think about how many days they're at work, it's pretty short, Kurt. I mean, it's what? A couple of weeks of work at most?
That's a great point. And, you know, he points out, you know, you got all the holidays in there. And he says, just try calling any government office on the afternoon on Saturday. And yet when they call these this government shutdown, they conclude all those days. So, you know, he's got
well, just
point.
Imagine calling Congress at noon in the middle of a work week. What is it, Tuesday right now, Kurt?
That's right.
All right. And it's what, 9:40 a.m. Eastern time? You know, solidly the morning of a workday, right? And you call your congressman and senator, and you're likely to just get, you know, a routing tool that routes you there, and they may or may not answer. And then even if they do answer, you're going to get a low-level staffer that doesn't know much about anything. When I even call and ask them about bills and stuff that they're representative sponsoring, and they're like, I don't know, I'm going to have to look up that one. You know, and it's just a... So even when you do get a hold of somebody. But think about that, 138 legislative days per year. Since 2001, according to records of the Library of Congress. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, I don't know what to think about that, really, Kurt. All right, 26 billionaires, Kurt, own the same wealth as the poorest 3.8 billion people, Kurt. Did you see this?
Seems like I saw something about it. You know.
What do you think of that?
You know, there are those who say when they see a story like that, that see, that's why we got to tax the wealthy more and spread the wealth out. Well, that's the exact wrong thing to point out, at least in my opinion. And you know, there's been this battle between the classes forever, and those who want to basically control you want to point that out. I think this has been kind of the way it's been forever, Sam. I mean, you go back in history and you got the lords and ladies and the kings and queens and that kind of thing. And but, you know, what we want to promote is the cause of freedom and liberty. And the fact is that sometimes those folks want to, or I mean, people today, there are some who really want to have, you know, a huge amount of things. There are others that are, you know, completely happy with a small amount of items, you know, wealth, if you will. And so we shouldn't be taking the idea that says, hey, somebody has a lot, that means we take it from them. We want to, you know, follow those Ten Commandments once again, and it says thou shalt not steal. So it's pretty good counsel there.
So here's what I find interesting about this story. The headline really does its very best to divide over this. So the 26 multi-billionaires, they're against the rest of the 3.8 billion people, half the world's population, they want to say. And I get it, and I think it's a problem for sure. Not a problem because I want to control anybody, but I'll explain why it's a problem, and I'll explain what the solution is to this in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future? and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Ladies and gentlemen, solutions are always at your fingertips. When you're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, we don't bring up a single story that we don't find solutions to. 3,000 lives per day murdered since Roe versus Wade. Today is National Human Sanctity of Life Day, and we celebrate pro-life. And we're doing the very best we can since that tragic day in 1973. Approximately 60 million babies have been murdered. And, Planned Parenthood's revealing how much more we taxpayers gave to them in 2018. The answer, 10 proven ways to fix the whole world. Bill Federer talking about the Ten Commandments, one of the greatest solutions we have. That's a Christian society different than any other. And Mark Levine rants the government, you know, they act like it's the longest government shutdown. But look, they've only had 138 legislative sessions per year since 2001, according to the Library of Congress. I bring all that up because now they say 26 billionaires have the same wealth as the poorest 3.8 billion people. Is that a problem? Yes, it is. But what they want to do is either divide on that and or have government do something about that. In my humble opinion, neither answer would be correct. Both would be off the rails crazy. The real answer, you may ask then, Sam, what is the answer, Mr. Solutions Guy? Well, you asked. I'm about to tell you. The answer is constitutional currency. Okay? You wouldn't have 26 billionaires having as much as half the world if you had honest constitutional currency, honest money. All right? Honest money, real money, intrinsic value asset-based currency holds down the divide. In other words, promotes the middle class. Honest money says, look, we don't want kings and royalty and then the unwashed masses. And so the founding fathers understood this very well, and that's why they had honest money at the helm. Honest weights and measures calls the Bible, calls it. And we need to think about that and say, you know what, right now when you can just print money, you create this two-class system. The rich, the super rich, and the very, very, very poor. And I believe that dishonest money creates a lot of this. Now, Kurt's right that this has been the case forever. Will there still be people doing that? Yes, there will. Will everybody have the same, like communism or socialism? No, they won't. Will there still be different people of different wealths and status? Yes, there will. But the extreme reality that we find right now, 26 people having as much as the 3.8 billion poorest half of the world, that disparity would not exist. So it doesn't solve the problem 100%, nor do we want to solve the problem 100%, as Kurt wisely points out. Some want a lot and work hard to get a lot, and others don't really find money that valuable. They'd rather have family and loved ones and friendships and a quality of life and those kind of things. And so it matters where you put your focus. So the disparity wouldn't end completely, but largely the destruction of the middle class can be laid at the feet of dishonest money, of fiat currency. And the strengthening of the middle class, primarily, and the rejection of the extremes, can literally be pointed to honest money, Kurt. Virtually every time when you go look at a society, honest money rewards the middle class. It holds the scammers down, stops the extremes. It rewards those who are willing to work hard. Okay, honest money is the primary answer to that. Any tidbits to add to that, Kurt?
Well, no. I mean, honest money's answer to so many things, you know, and like you say, then the ten, you know, couple that with the Ten Commandments. I mean, you got a great.
Think about the dishonest money is violating the thou shalt not covet, isn't it, Kurt?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that violate that, you know.
Yeah, I'm just saying dishonest money allows folks just to print money and get anything they want almost, you know. So anyway, honest money is the key and the Ten Commandments. Just imagine if we had honest money and people obeyed the Ten Commandments, what kind of a society we would have, Kurt. Just imagine it.
Yep, great point.
Wouldn't it be exciting? All right, by the way, I wanted to talk a little bit about the number Me Too movement, Kurt. You know about this?
I mean, I've seen some articles with it or whatever, and, you know, it seems like there's, you know, a lot of that kind of going around. I wouldn't say that I could define it.
All right, number sign me, M-E-T-O-O. So just so you know, number sign means hashtag, right?
Yes.
And hashtag really means item to highlight, item to promote, very simply. You pop a number sign by something and you hashtag it. It's kind of like a way to get it, let it go viral or promote it on the social media worlds. And hashtag started with Twitter, now they're everywhere, right?
All right.
And the number Me Too movement basically is the movement about the sexual abuse going on. And so anybody who's been sexually abused says Me Too, and now they're part of this big hashtag movement, you know, to reject abuse. And I support the rejection of abuse. What I have a problem with is they're literally attacking men at every turn. You got Gillette promoting this kind of Me Too idea where they're like, any masculine man is evil. You know, the natural or the real man is kind of an enemy, and let's just make men, you know, into this kind of new model, which is wimpy men or men that don't have any traits that make a man kind of a thing. And anyway, it's off the rails completely. But here's what I don't understand, Kurt. The liberals are so good, and I mentioned this over the years, and I'm going to highlight it again. The liberals are so good at marketing their agenda. And I'll give you examples. They create names for things that you just got to be an idiot to be against almost. Like pro-choice. I mean, all the freedom fighters are for choice, aren't they, Kurt? You know, and they use these words, the Patriot Act. I'm like, buddy, are you against the Patriot Act? So you're against pro-choice and you're against the Patriot Act. What kind of a freedom person are you anyway? See, and they're so good. And Me Too is a proof of this. So I'm a pro-choice, Patriot Act loving Me Too guy. You're against that, Kurt? How dare you? You know, Black Lives Matter. You're against Black Lives? All Lives Matter? Oh, well, you're just not, you know, you're not highlighting the problem that we're facing here. And it just shows how insensitive you are to it. The fact that you don't even realize the issue here just shows how your white privilege, and they're so good at their marketing. And this Me Too movement is an example. And I guess what I want to highlight about this, Kurt, is what if the conservatives or the constitutionalists or the whatever you want to call it, libertarians or the constitutional, whatever group, what if we all just started using Me Too for everything? Taxes are too high. Me Too. The IRS is not going to give us our refund. Me Too. And what if we just use Me Too for everything? We're so sad about the government shutdown. Me Too. I need to build a, Donald needs to build a border on the wall. Me Too. And we just use Me Too for everything, Kurt. How long would their Me Too movement have this cachet that it has?
I don't know, Sam, but seems like a...
Well, if you diluted every message they had with it, for example, pro-choice, what if we said pro-life is pro-choice? And we use that slogan, pro-life is pro-choice. Pro-death has no choice but death. You know, what if we did pro-life is pro-choice? And what if we were to use, the whole point of this discussion is, what if we were to take their incredible marketing plans and turn it back on them? Right? Like the idea that, I don't know if you've heard this, but they're talking about delivering one brick at a time to build the wall, right? Have you heard about that?
No, not okay. that I can remember.
Anyway, Kurt needs to find out. He can send in a brick and help build the wall, one brick at a time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I bring that up because we just don't market ourselves well, and I really think we need to work on that. All right, I guess the police says that a wounded, what is it, IAOP? Oh, IHOP employee. I'm used to them being iBurger or whatever they are now. But anyway, IHOP, International House of Pancakes. That's the old name. That's why I was so confused. But anyway, a wounded IHOP worker employee takes care of business, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam, this was, one of those situations where you kind of wish you didn't have breakfast there at IHOP at that morning. But that's what the headline, wounded IHOP employees pulls guns, kills armed restaurant attacker. In this case, once again, a good guy with a gun took care of business and made sure that the bad guy didn't continue on.
Was right? this a guy or a girl, Kurt?
This is a guy.
All right.
Breitbart has the piece, and this what you had, Associated Press even reported that this incident began when a customer became agitated over his food order. A customer opened fire. That's pretty agitated. And killed one and wounded another. The wounded employee then pulled his own gun and shot the attacker dead. Police said of the wounded employee, he pulled a handgun and shot the customer shooter in self-defense of others.
And thank heavens for that, ladies and gentlemen. Good guys with guns every time making the difference. We didn't even need the cops to come in on that one, right, Kurt?
Yeah, the deceased employee was a guy named Roy Brown, and he reported that Brown's son, Jay, was the individual who pulled his own gun and killed the attacker. So you got a father-son group working there. The father was killed by this guy. Here's what John Powell.
We got to hurry. We got to move to this other female said. Senator, too, Kurt.
Oh, okay. The frequent customer at the IHOP where the incident occurred, praised the man for his actions. Powell said it's amazing that he was able to think so quickly on his feet in that situation, because I think I probably just would have panicked. He added, I'm glad he was caring. I think it's fantastic. I love knowing that the good guys have guns, so Amen. That if the bad guys act up, the good guys can protect themselves.
Speaking of the good guys with guns, sometimes it's gals, and a Virginia senator, her name is Amanda Chase. I guess she's openly carrying a handgun to deter violent protesters, Kurt.
Well, that's right. She's been threatened, and so she's kind of feeling like, hey, I want to protect myself. I mean, imagine that. They call her a white woman with a gun.
See, why are we mentioning that she's white?
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that they want to do, but yeah. They say she carried a revolver on her hip while at the Virginia Capitol building, and she said sometimes it's a deterrent for over-exuberant folks.
Amen, and that's what we want.
Unfortunately, in the General Assembly, we see the good, we see the bad, we see all types of things. It's just for personal safety, quite honestly.
Amen, don't blame her. She's got a rape me not and a rob me not and a ready to go, a deterrent. I love it. And again, good guys with guns are, well, it's just our unalienable right, God-given right of self-defense we're talking about. That's all. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up. I'm Sam, he's Kurt, you're you. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Will you help us? LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.